Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's most cowardly podcast network.
Hello and welcome to this bonus episode of Scaredy Boys Chasers, a podcast where three cowardly friends discuss movies to watch after horror movies to help chase away the fear and let your gentle soul sleep soundly. I'm Damien.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Tom.
And for this episode, we watched Speed. Speed is a 1994 American action thriller film directed by Juan de Bont, starring Keanu Reeves. It follows Jack Traven, a young LA police officer who must prevent a bomb exploding aboard a city bus by keeping its speed above 50 miles per hour.
What a concept.
Oh my God.
We could do an entire podcast series on this one film. Oh,
completely agree. Yeah.
It's incredible. Perfect. I was like, oh, I haven't seen it for a while. When you guys suggested we watch it as a chaser.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, is it still as good as, like, I can't remember how kind of enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
Boys, it's one of the greatest action movies of all time.
I agree. Five stars.
It literally has it all. Like, it is so, it lives up to its name in that the stakes are never not being raised.
It is off its head. It is, the characters are fantastic. The stakes are incredible. It is insanely believable, which seems
right
stupid.
Yes,
but they just I'm yeah, sure, okay. This is how the that great. I'm on board. Let's go.
It's also got this schlocky sort of B movie feel because the acting is at times borderline terrible, but it doesn't detract from the experience of the movie.
Yes,
in fact, it enhances it, I think.
Uh-huh. Yeah, completely agree. Like, well, I watched this with Holly, and she was saying that for Dennis Hopper, who's like off his head in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
The hop.
Cocaine.
He's on cocaine. Like, he's acting his little heart out, and he's also just so terrible at some points, but in this like over the top, weirdly lovable, enjoyable way.
It's the laugh. It's that cackle.
It's the laugh. Yes, it is.
He's perfect.
There's the bit near the end, Tom, when he's got Sandy B, and he takes her through the door, and I can't remember what he says to Jack. He says, like, some throwaway line, and then there's, like, a beat, and then he just goes, punk, and then the door closes.
It's
full of moments like that, which are Joss Whedon moments, really. He punched up the script, and I read today that he actually wrote nearly all of the dialogue, in fact. Mm-hmm. He's just uncredited.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that he had any involvement in it.
Graham Yost, I think his name is, he wrote the screenplay, and then Keanu Reeves.
Is that justified?
Yes.
Graham Yost?
Yeah. Same
fucking
guy.
Fucking hell. I knew I loved Speed for a reason.
And then Keanu Reeves read it and said, it's too much like Die Hard. Mm-hmm. And then they brought Joss Whedon in as the uncredited sort of guy to punch up the script. And according to Graham Yost, Whedon contributed nearly all of the dialogue. Yeah. And there are some really like Whedon style.
Totally.
Snarky sort of lines and stuff in.
But even now that I'm realizing it, I'm like, yeah, the whole I hear that life threatening events are bad for starting a relationship. Like that is the most like Whedon-y kind of Whedon flirty mode.
Yeah.
I guess.
I love you said before, Tom. You're like they make you believe this concept, and I think honestly that's probably this movie's greatest strength is that. It is a wild concept that a bus can't go below 50 because there's a bomb about to explode. Like, you're like, wait a minute. How do you even sell that to it? Like, how do you get an audience to believe that? And then they do. And I love it because they bother to put, like, that first act of them being in the elevator and all that stuff is, one, it's just a really nice sequence of events. It sets up a lot. It's just a fun little snippet to watch. But it also makes you buy 100% in that this guy's loony enough to go, great, I'm going to rig this bus up with a bomb. Like, great.
Best.
It's so good.
Best opening credits of all time. They're so simple. The font is like Microsoft Word from the 90s.
Yeah, someone just discovered word art and decided to make these credits.
It's me in grade 6 and we've just got new computers at my school.
If for some reason you haven't seen it, it's just an elevator. It's just the camera going down and down. And it goes from, it feels like 5 minutes.
It's a long time.
And it's giving you the entire credits and you get, there's a great music score on this movie. Yeah. And you get like...
Oh, the score's off its dick.
It just peppers it with little hints of like the really high points of the score. And it gets you pumped up for the movie. Oh, and then, of course, you have fucking Keanu Reeves and his partner, Jeff Daniels, which is a great partnership.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Their car, when it first comes into the shot, it is going... like. That's impossible.
Yeah,
it's flying through the air.
Yes.
It sets the tone. If you didn't already know you're in the most fucking cooked movie ever, you do now. You just watch that and go, how did they even... They couldn't go that... Oh, it doesn't make sense.
What I love is that they've picked both tropes of the police... Basically, both the partner and the other cop are both the trope of you're out of line. Like, they're both off their head.
Yeah.
Like... And everyone in that police department is not like, is, you know, I'm going to take your gun and your badge. It's like they recruited the LAPD for speed. They went, all right, give me a list of all the officers who had to hand in their gun and their badge because they did something cooked. We're going to hire them.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting to say that. So like on the whole, it was too similar to Die Hard part of it. So originally Jack Traven's character was more similar to Bruce Willis's character in Die Hard and that he was quippy. He was like, doing whatever he needed to get the job done. And then when they cast Keanu, they're like, well, this is one, the director cast Keanu because he was almost like a softer boy. They're like, women will love him because he's Keanu and men won't be intimidated by him because he's sort of like a slighter frame.
Yeah.
And so then they still made the character do whatever he needs to do to get the job done, but also be quite respectful and trying to calm everyone down and try to like take control of the situation. And it also came from because they'd, which I find, this is the part I find most interesting. They'd done a bunch of interviews with the LAPD and they kind of found that that is how they respond. They're very much like de-escalate and they really don't want to lose any lives.
Yep.
And so they've eventually built that into Jack Traven's character, which I think totally strengthens the character beyond, like, it's still obviously a great action movie character and he's got the name Jack Traven.
Yeah. Yep.
But even then, he is this like softer, more thoughtful, more caring version of that character.
That is a brilliant point and has made me think of something.
Yeah.
I wonder if Keanu and this film paved the way for Tom Cruise a couple years later becoming the star of Mission Impossible. Because he said that same thing. He's kind of easy on the eye for the women back then.
Yep.
And he's a very small guy. He's a smaller frame, so he's not physically imposing.
Yes.
I wonder if, this movie.
Did Keanu launch the greatest cinematic franchise of all time?
I think he did.
In my heart. Yes. Yes,
yep. He
did. What I love about this, though, is I think the thing that makes this work, too, is that I think if it had been an older kind of diehard type cop, you wouldn't believe that they would be capable of doing what the shit that Jack's doing.
I mean, it's mad that we believe it at all.
But that's what I mean. Insane. Like, I believe that Keanu Reeves can absolutely fucking like skateboard on his back at 50 miles per hour and like climb back out of it. Whereas I don't think I can't buy Bruce Willis doing that.
Nah,
John McClane can't do that.
Nah.
And I just think he's like the difference between, again, that softer touch is kind of nice because you see that when he's friends with that bus driver early on he goes back for his muffin. And then there's that bit just later when he gets on the bus and the guy pulls the gun out and he's like, I'm not a cop anymore.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
See, it's fine. We're okay. You got to sit down. I'll tell you what, there's some people in this movie though. Like, obviously my brain's like, okay, I know Keanu's in it and I know it's, I was like, and Dennis Hopper. Yeah. And Sandra Bullock.
Yep.
But I forgot Jeff Daniels was in it for a start. Mm. And then a fucking old mate from Ferris Bueller shows up on the bus.
he's great.
He's very good. Well, Carney, you might have read this, but that was another Joss Whedon rewrite.
Yeah.
Where originally that guy was like a bit more of an arsehole, bit of a business guy, that sort of a thing.
He's a lawyer.
He's a lawyer, that was it. And so he rewrote him as this, oh, shucks, a tourist, which again, like it softens the rest of the film is literally going 50 miles per hour. It is like going as fast as it can.
It's going faster than that, mate. That's just its minimum speed.
That's very true.
It starts at 50.
Yeah. Which, by the way, for us is 80 kilometers per hour. I had to Google that because I wanted to know.
Yeah.
But yeah, having these softer characters who are a bit more, I don't know, like us, I guess, like where you can put yourself in the shoes of like, like, we've all been to LA, I think.
No, I haven't. Have you guys?
Oh, Kanye hasn't.
I have on silver screen though, many times.
Yes. But like, well, when I went to LA, that's probably the most I've ever felt like a tourist, because it is a intimidating. I got yelled at within like the first hour because I ordered a sandwich too slow.
That's good. That's good. I respect. That is the most LA thing in the world, right?
Right. Yeah. So I loved having this tourist there who's also like so optimistic, and then immediately is in the most cooked situation anyone has ever been in.
Yeah. It's funny we mentioned Die Hard, because I think they offered this to the guy who directed Die Hard. He turned it down.
Right.
And then Jan de Bont, I could be wrong, I'm pretty sure this is his first film as a director, but he was the cinematographer of Die Hard. And a lot of action films.
Ah, okay.
So he's got a great eye.
Yeah, he does.
And that's pretty clear when you watch this.
Yeah.
Also, I read that originally in the script, and I don't know how they were going to pull this off, it wasn't going to be 50 miles. It was going to be that the bus has to stay above 20 miles an hour. How would they do that? That would be a different film.
Yeah.
That would be a slower film.
I have to say, keeping it above 50s, that's the right choice. Being like, oh, because in their heads, I guess, what, 2060. So it's like, oh, but you're in it. Again, the thing I love about it is they're like, what we'll do is, like, okay, imagine you're the like, you're Graham Yost, right? You walk into a meeting with a bunch of producers, dick swinging, knowing that you have got the greatest movie ever. Because you know, as soon as you're like, so it's an action movie. All right, give it to me. There's a bomb on a bus, and if it goes under 50 miles per hour, the bus explodes.
Yeah,
like that as just a log line.
Yeah,
it's huge.
Is just the most dick punching line in the world.
Yeah.
So you do that, and then you're like, "Where's it set? L.A. Famous for shitty traffic."
Yeah, that's when you take your dick and just slam it on the table.
Oh, I assume that's what he did. I assume that's what he did.
Yeah. I wasn't. So I've watched this before, but I don't have a strong memory of literally when I sat down and watched this. I feel like it's the kind of movie I've seen snippets of in the background of like parties or just visiting people or what have you. So sitting down and watching it from start to finish was genuinely a delight. It was such an enjoyable time.
Mm.
It really is like ultimate action. Like, you talked about the score before, and I agree. I made a note during it. The score was amazing, and that if anyone's writing an action scene, they would do very well to listen to this score.
Oh, yeah.
But they'd also do very well just to watch this movie in its entirety and then go write your action scene, because it is peak action. It literally doesn't stop.
It has that kind of 90s action thing where the film, like the plot kind of got resolved and then they add on another huge action set piece
massive.
On top of that as well.
Yeah, massive like, set piece.
Because I think Jan de Bont read the script and went, so it's just on a bus. And he goes, it's kind of boring. And then so Graham Yost went off and added the whole train thing as well.
Oh.
Like, how do you go from an insane bus movie and then you're like, oh, we'll just add on a fucking chaotic train scene as well. Like,
which has the best throwaway line of the movie. I'm taller.
Yeah. I was so kidding. I'm like, does that actually relate to what just happened? Like, did that have any effect?
It's him bragging.
He has a head and Dennis Hopper doesn't. And
then he goes inside. Oh, what happened to him? He lost his head.
Oh, amazing.
I read that Keanu wasn't used to having to do so many facial expressions when he acted. So this movie was a challenge.
Oh, my God. That is my new favorite fact.
It's incredible that
this
was John Wick before John Wick.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, like you mentioned TC before, Tommy Cruise. I did have the thought during this, I'm like, oh, what would this be? Like, I love Keanu, but what would this have been like if this had been a TC film?
Ooh. Okay, first thing, he doesn't chase the bus in a car, he runs it down.
He runs it down. Yes, he does.
Just those little arms pumping.
Oh, bang. My God. He like, Speed is, like, they just call him Speed. His character's name is now Speed.
Yeah.
He would have been like Jack Speed.
Oh, Jackie Speed. He'll run him down. Oh, my God. Like, I also loved this movie blew up a plane.
It didn't need to.
No.
Thank you. Yeah, it didn't. But fuck it. Why not?
There's also, like, I will say this. It ends like a 90s action film because the guy gets the girl. And it's like, yeah, but Jeff Daniels died.
Like, yeah, I know. Movies are so like that. Like, it's so quick to forget the trauma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because it has to.
Yeah.
I will say, having said that though, the scene where he learns that Jeff Daniels is dead and then he's on the bus and Bullock's talking him down. She's like, no, we need you. Come on, you gotta come back. She's fucking great.
She's brilliant.
Oh, everyone's great in this fucking movie. Yeah. You could watch the scariest fucking movie on. You boys, you could watch a double feature of Hereditary and Midsommar.
Oh, no.
And you could just watch the opening credits of Speed and you would feel better.
That's true. I would.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
That is a, well, that brings us nicely to our first question, which did it help calm our cowardly hearts?
Yes. Oh, every time. Yep.
1,000%.
I'll be watching it again.
How can I be scared when I'm so jam-packed full of adrenaline?
Yeah, that's right.
It takes the fear. What it does is it takes the fear that I've got and it morphs it into like a fear of the excitement factor. So yeah, it's exactly that. I feel like it takes the adrenaline that's pumping through me because I'm scared of a jump scare,
yeah,
ramps it up to 1,000, but then doesn't give me anything scary to look at.
Right.
And so it's actually, Speed is the perfect chaser.
Yeah.
Instead of giving you something nice, it just taps into the emotion you're already feeling, but just makes it fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, great.
It's basically, it leaves you at the point where you're like, give me a jump scare, I'll punch it in the face. Like, I want it now. Yeah.
Can you think of a more adrenaline-fueled movie?
Because I honestly can't. That was my major takeaway from this movie is like, this is the action film action films would watch if they watched action films.
Yeah.
I mean, the only one that probably hits a similar note is Crank, in which the bus is Jason Statham.
Okay. Yeah, that's actually a really good point. Yeah.
And Crank 2.
Yeah.
Although I will say this. I've seen Crank. It's rated on my letterbox. I think it got 3.5 stars. Speed, 5.
Big 5.
Easiest 5 I've ever made.
I've just remembered one more person who was in line to direct it.
Okay.
And they turned it down and they've since gone on to regret that very much. It was Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, really?
Get out.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I think I read a thing. Doesn't he love this movie? Isn't it like in his...
Yeah, I think I read today that he has it on like his 20 best movies ever, maybe, or something like that. Yeah, he loves it.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
That's so interesting seeing, because obviously there's been movies that he's written but not directed in True Romance. I'd be fascinated to see what Speed would have been like in, because what did he would have just made, what, Reservoir Dogs?
Yeah, but you've got to imagine if he signed on to direct, they wouldn't have hired Whedon to come in and do a punch-up.
Yeah,
they would
have
just had Tarantino rewrite
that's true.
It.
True.
So it would be, may well be a entirely...
Instead of having, like, quips, Dennis Hopper's just constantly talking about, like, Elton John songs that he likes.
We'll talk about this movie as a chaser film. So I read this really great fact, which is that a Fox producer realized that they would have a hit movie on their hands when he noticed that during test screenings, audience members would walk backwards when they needed to go to the bathroom so they'd miss as little as possible.
That's great.
That's good. Not as dedicated as they should. They should just piss themselves.
Piss your pants, guys.
I love those little test screening tidbits. There's the one from Jaws where Spielberg knew he had a hit when someone ran outside to throw up and then ran back in.
And then came back. Oh, that is beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so great.
Test screening stories like that are so good. There's that one they did for Paranormal Activity where they didn't tell them it was a movie.
Oh, that's rough.
That it was. They told them it was true.
Oh, are you kidding?
Oh, that's...
Yeah, and then used the reactions of that audience in the marketing campaign.
Shit.
Oh.
So they put night vision cameras and film the audience watching it.
Right. Nothing good happens with night vision.
No.
Nah. Although, if there was night vision in Speed...
That would use it. Well, like, I read another fact about test screenings, which is that this film literally ran out of money because they blew up a plane. So I also read the plane cost them $80,000, and that was back in...
Jesus!
That was back in 1993.
It's not even a plot point that needed to happen. No.
So they blew up the plane, and then ran out of money. So then they... basically, the film was previewed for an audience, and all those subway scenes that we saw at the end that they didn't have enough money for was just shown in animated storyboards. But the audience loved it so much that the studio's like, yeah, all right, here's the extra money.
Hollywood, off its head. Oh,
mate, like, it so suits this movie, which is also off its fucking head. So my next question for our Chasers episode is, what was the most powerful part for you?
I've got mine.
You go, Tom, while I'm thinking.
So there are probably two that sit on an equal par.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's the it's anytime Dennis Hopper is on the phone. Anytime he's coming in, just munching down on scenery.
Sure.
Because he's such a great villain as well, because we've seen him break. It's great because he gives Keanu rules to follow.
Yeah.
In the same way they do with the elevator, and then he breaks. He's happy to break his own rules, so he just seems so dangerous and unhinged, and that's what's great about him. And then the other fucking balls to the wall, excellent fucking sequence is when the bus jumps the freeway.
If you
thought the jump at the start was ridiculous, wait till this. It just gets so much air
for a bus.
It's like the ramp should not give you that kind of air.
No.
I read when they filmed it, they were shocked by the amount of air that it got. Like, apparently it, like, didn't work to plan. It was even better.
Yeah.
I love that they use the same plot point twice. They have two plot points where the chief of police is like, it's not finished.
Yeah, I know.
He does it again in the subway and he does it on the bus. But yeah, that bus jump. If you've had, again, if you've watched like something truly horrific, yep. You could watch just the bus jump because you get the tension of the build to the jump and then the elation when they land
it. Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I guarantee your mouth will hang open as soon as that bus gets airborne.
Yeah.
You will just not believe what world you're in anymore. Most powerful moment for me. Mm. Yeah, I forgot. Oh, geez. I don't know how. I forgot about the bus. That is powerful. Emotionally powerful. Yeah. One we mentioned before, when Keanu Reeves finds out that Jeff Daniels has died and he just loses it. That's a beautiful moment. Mm-hmm. The moment near the end when he and Sandy are riding the thing and the music just fucking peaks.
Yeah.
It's huge.
It is
such a huge moment.
Yeah.
And then my personal favorite moment is the guy named Ortiz, who also goes by Gigantor, I think. Gigantor.
Keanu calls him Gigantor.
Yeah. One of the other guys calls him that as well. It's when the guy from Ferris Bueller is having a bit of a sook, and then Ortiz turns to him. I don't know why it gets me. It just does every time. And he goes, hey, I got a wife. And just the look on his face kills me. Absolutely kills me. I love him. He gets so into it.
Yeah.
He's my favorite character, actually.
He's the best. He does some good shit, too. He loves Jack.
I love the scene when Jack's hanging under the bus and Ortiz is like ripping the bottom of the bus.
Oh,
and
he goes, yeah.
Somebody get my tools. And then Sandy's driving and she's like, get his tools. Get his tools. The whole bus. I love every character on that bus. Oh. They all have a moment.
Yeah. They all come together to like you said before with Sandy B trying to get Keanu back on track after he finds out Jeff Daniels dies. Like, they're all working together to just like survive this insane scenario.
Yep.
Well, the scene I'm going to choose is when Keanu takes the guy's car and he's driving along with the guy, I can't remember his name. And basically he's just doing everything he can to get on the bus. As soon as it ticks over 50 and he knows we can't stop it, his first thought is, I need to get on that bus. And I just think, fuck, that's great. Because that just tells us everything you need to know about the character. That in this situation, in this madcap situation where a bus can't go below 50 miles per hour, his first thought is, I need to be on that bus. I thought that was amazing.
He has that great bit on that in that car, that great bit where he's just like, do you have insurance? Yes. Smashes his door off.
He even has a bit with the elevator stuff at the start of the film where he just like volunteers he and Harry to do it.
Yeah.
So already he's like that. He's the guy. He's the one who's got to be there and saving the day.
That's
I love that bit you mentioned, Damo, where he's in the car and the piece of paper that says bomb on bus just blows away.
Yeah.
And hits the windshield.
Oh, very
and just
good.
That slow zoom on the driver's face. And he's like, damn. That's great.
Oh, that brings us nicely to how would we do in this situation? Three people who are probably the opposite of Jack Travard.
Here's my question. Are we on the bus or are we Jack?
Ooh. The coward part of me says,
are we Annie or are we Jack?
I think we're more Annies than... Look, if we're being honest with ourselves...
I was going to say, who's driving the bus?
Ooh, that's a good call.
One of us has to drive the bus, I think.
And then one of us dies from driving the bus.
Oh, shit.
Have either of you guys got some kind of heavy vehicle license.
Ah, damn it.
I can barely drive a normal
car. I don't have a bus. I don't have a bus or a truck license, but I have a forklift license.
All right, Carney.
That counts.
I think you're our Sandy B then.
Okay. Damn it. No, that's all right, because Sandy survives.
Also, Sandy B doesn't even have a fucking license.
That's true.
I think she's... Hasn't she lost her license?
Yeah.
There's that great joke. He's like, I should tell you that I've actually, the reason I'm on the bus is because I lost my license. What'd you lose it for? Speeding.
Brilliant.
And he just gives her this like,
that's a Joss Whedon line.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Tom.
All right. I'm driving.
Yeah. You're driving. You're Sandy B. Tom, who do you think you'll be? Would you be Gigantor? Would you be the tourist? Would you be the gunman?
I'm probably the tourist. Yeah. Let's be real. I'm probably Cam from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah. All right, I'm gonna take the role of Gigantor without having his mask because I'm not Gigantor, but I do feel like I would be trying to calm people down because it really annoys me, yeah. Like to the point that I eye roll that in movies like this where you like see someone who just starts being hysterical and you're like, well, clearly that's not going to happen. Like, what are you doing that for? Like, I'm almost just disappointed in them that their first reaction is to lose their head.
Like the guy with the gun.
Well, yeah, definitely the guy with the gun. But like more even...
But also the old lady.
The old lady, right. Like to me, like the least you can do is nothing. Let's all achieve at least that bare minimum. But if you're being hysterical and losing your head, well, now you're actually a detriment. You're making things worse than they need to be. So I feel like Gigantor did good at calming people down. So maybe I at one point say, I've got a wife. Because I do.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Actually, it has to.
And you've got a wife.
Yeah.
Out of the two of us, you're the only one with a wife.
This is true. Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh man, I just wanted to come on a nice little holiday. I love catching the bus. Yeah.
That guy with the gun is kind of stupid because like you would think that they were going to do something like maybe he was a wanted criminal or he had drugs on him or something. Yeah. So he freaked out when he saw a cop. But they don't play at anything. So it's kind of just like, he saw a cop and got the gun out and went crazy.
I feel like he had priors or something like that. There was a reason that he thought he was there for him for whatever fucking reason. But originally in the script, it was going to be that the driver had a heart attack, but they obviously thought, no, this is speed. Things are always going balls to the fucking wall.
Speed it up.
Someone's got to get shot. Because then if he gets shot, he can still be alive and then they need to get him off.
Right.
Fuck, that scene is so good too, where they're getting him across.
Yeah.
And she's got to get the bus closer. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. I don't know if I can do that. Nah, who am I kidding? I'm a great driver. I've got this covered.
Mate, you're the best driver out of the three of us. I've seen you drive a car on fumes down a hill, down a mountain, down a back road.
Sound that impressive.
No. So Sean and I, it was actually at your Bucks weekend, Damo. Yeah. We'd driven up and at one point we're driving along and we went past a petrol station that had a sign at the front and said last gap petrol station. And I said, oh, Sean, we should get some petrol from there. And Sean went, nah, that's just a fake sign. It was the
such
last
a big call. Such stop. A big call to go this tiny gas stop on a mountain somewhere in the back streets of Victoria. And you're like, nah, they're just trying to drum up business.
Yep.
It's such a big call.
Yep.
It was the wrong call.
It was the wrong call.
So we got to the mountain on empty. And it was an hour from the top of the mountain to the petrol station we'd been to. And we were like, we don't... Because the issue was everyone had to be somewhere and it couldn't even be that one of the other guys could go and get fuel and come back. Like, that just wasn't going to work either. It was a real disaster. Yeah. So we went and asked the people at the kiosk of the mountain and they were like, look, we don't have any fuel for you, but don't go that way. There's a fuel station. It looks further on the map, but it's really steep gravel, like back logging roads.
Mm-hmm.
So you can kind of almost put the car in neutral, kind of skid around. You don't have to accelerate as much. Yeah. And so Sean and I drove, well, Sean, I was the passenger. Sean drove down a mountain in gravel, sliding through this logging road. And we arrived, I reckon, 30 seconds before that car was going to die. So if anyone is going to be able to save us, it's going to be Sean.
It's Sean Carney. I remember just feeling sick on the way home, just like looking at my phone constantly, waiting from either like you guys being like, we're fucked, we're stranded on the mountain, or yeah, we got out of it, it's all right. And luckily the latter finally came. But I hear what you're saying and I completely agree. I think, look, that was your jumping over the gap in the highway. That's what that was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm the kind of driver who'll make some stupid decisions, but he'll get you where you need to go.
But you weirdly get there.
Yeah.
Well, then for the rest of it, are we just letting Jack Trevin be Jack Trevin? Like,
yeah, absolutely. This one kind of goes on autopilot a bit,
right? I feel 100%. Like it does. Yeah, like if we're just the passengers, at some point he's going to clean up the mess and we'll walk away. Apart from you, Carney, you're going to be on the train if you're sent to be.
But I mean, I do get the ultimate prize in the end, which is I get to make out with Keanu.
Lock lips with old Keanu Reeves. Yes, you do, sir.
Because I think, let's be real then, if we were then the cops in this situation, we would just drive the bus, get to the airport, drive the bus and make sure the money gets there. Yep. And if the cops are like, we'll get these people off the bus and we'll do a sneaky dodgy, we'd be like, guys, just fucking pay the kid.
Guys, I don't know. I think we need to take a more active role. I think we need to be... We need to be Lieutenant Mac, maybe. And we need to come up with a solution to get people off the bus.
Oh, that's very good.
Which is tricky. Well,
would we work out that video thing?
I think we would. I think we would.
We would.
Like, it seems pretty obvious in the end, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. And we would make sure that no one was doing anything stupid like moving a briefcase off their lap.
Yes. Also, his eyesight is incredible that he could see a wildcat logo on the jacket.
It doesn't
even make sense that he could see that. Also, he doesn't really make many mistakes at all throughout the film. For him to do something dumb like that, that's poor form.
Yeah.
What I love is it's because the timing is him going to take a piss.
I think we'd mostly do all right. If we're passengers, we'd obviously be fine. If we're lieutenants, I think we'd do fine. Like, really?
I think we just get him the money.
Mostly,
that's the way we do
it. Mostly it's us just giving him the money. That's right.
We would check to make sure the freeway was completed.
Yeah.
I mean, but in their defense, it was completed on the map. He just had a map that was wrong. Also, if we are in the lieutenant position and we need to try and get people off the bus, I don't know if you're going to come up with a smarter play than looping the video.
That's true.
Nah.
Also, it's pretty wild, like obviously because this is an older movie, it's wild that the map was an actual map and not GPS. So I feel like we would have that benefit of it just being straight up GPS. And let's even say it's set in Melbourne and not LA, in which case he's got very few options. I think it would get him, would shut it down pretty quickly.
Mm. Well, yeah, I guess if it's in Melbourne, where are you going though? You're just going on the ring road, just doing loops.
Yeah. Well, like if it's in Melbourne...
Not going anywhere near like Hoddle Street or any of that shit.
Yeah. If you get on the ring road, you're probably fine. Like at that time of the day, traffic's not so bad.
You could just drive to Albert Park, couldn't you? Actually, no, that's a bad idea because the corners are... It's race car corners. Oh, yeah. We'd be screwed.
Carney, you're driving, mate.
Fuck. Oh, we're dead.
Yeah.
We just blew up.
So that's bad because not only that, but also you got to go down St. Kilda Road.
Yeah.
Shit. Yeah. Okay.
Just go through. Just mow them down, mate.
Is it a tram if it's in Melbourne, not a bus?
Yeah,
that's a good point. Although then you're screwed. You have to stop the tram.
Eventually.
Yeah. Oh, I think me setting this in Melbourne is a bad call. This doesn't end well.
It's like, what time in the... I think it's like...
It's peak
10
hour.
10 a.m. or 9 a.m. Is it peak hour?
Look, if it's during COVID times, happy fucking days.
Oh, yeah, actually, yeah.
You're like, hop up, mate. You've chosen the wrong year to pull off this speed heist of yours.
No one's on the bus.
Actually, yeah, there'd be no one on the bus.
Okay, so this scenario is that the three of us are just at home and one of us is like, hey, did you hear about this weird bus thing? Nah. All right, on with 2020. And that is all the Chaser Talk we have for this episode. I've been Damien.
I've been Sean.
I've been Tom.
And if you want to tell us what your Chaser movies are or you just want to say hi, you can email us at 3scaredboys@gmail.com or find us on Twitter at @scaredyboys or individually, I'm @middaypyjamas.
I'm @carney from 55.
And I'm @awkwardtrade.
Stay calm, everyone.